Next chapter 18 and that second verse, Paul, we're told, departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And he found there a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. And three times Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned in this 18th chapter of Acts. Now we've already considered some of the verses relating to Priscilla. Last week we considered Priscilla as the faithful wife and how she had always been by the side of her husband Aquila. No matter where he journeyed to in all his travels, you always read of Aquila and Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila. You never read one name without the other. They're always together. She's the faithful wife. We notice also that she was a faithful worker. In Romans 16 and verse 3, Paul commends Aquila and Priscilla for their help in the gospel. He described them as helpers in Christ Jesus. We noted Priscilla's place because her name was mentioned first. It was Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, indicating that Priscilla was at the forefront of helping Paul. She played a major part in helping the great apostle to spread the good news of the gospel. We noted her participation. She was a helper. And we noted that the word helpers mean joint worker, or companion in labor. And so whatever Priscilla and Aquila did, they were helping Paul. They were joint laborers in the gospel. And the Apostle Paul appreciated the help that he often received from God's people. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. We notice Priscilla's purpose, because we read of, Paul says of Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. And there you have her purpose, was to help in the gospel because of Jesus Christ. What Priscilla did, she did it as unto the Lord. What Priscilla did, she did it for the Lord. Paul described them as his helpers in Christ Jesus. We noted then finally that she was a faithful worshipper, because we're told that she had the church in her house in two places. Wherever Aquila and Priscilla settled down, they had meetings in their church or in their house. And so that indicates to us that Priscilla was a sincere and faithful worshipper of the Lord. And where there was no church, no assembly to go to, she had an assembly of believers in her own home. And there together they worshipped the Lord. That leads us now to consider not only Priscilla and her faithfulness, but Priscilla and her fervency. We have something of the fervent spirit and seen something of the fervent spirit of Priscilla, but more is said about this particular woman and her zeal and her fervent spirit. We see how fervent she was, first of all, in her travels. We have seen that Aquila, as a missionary or minister of the gospel, traveled a great deal as he served the Lord. And where his name is mentioned, no matter where he traveled to, Priscilla's name is mentioned also. In other words, wherever Aquila went to, Priscilla was by his side, demonstrating the same fervent spirit that her husband demonstrated. When Aquila decided to go with Paul on his missionary journey, Priscilla did not hesitate to go with him. Look at chapter 18 of Acts and verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. Having shorn his head in Cenchrea, for he had a vow, and he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And as we have seen, Aquila and Priscilla traveled much. And wherever the Lord led Aquila to go to minister, as we see here, from Corinth to Syria, we are told, and then on to another place to minister the word. And we find that Priscilla went with her husband. Missionaries and ministers, by their very nature of their calling, travel a lot and cover many miles. And wherever Aquila traveled, Priscilla went with him. It could not always have been easy for Priscilla. It could not always have been easy for her leaving her home and her family and her friends, moving from place to place, setting up home, and then leaving that home and moving somewhere else and setting up another home. Moving from city to city and town to town. There you have an example of her fervent spirit, surrendered like her husband to the will of God. She was indeed a true disciple of Jesus Christ. We read in Mark 10 and verse 28, Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. This is what the Lord answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. In other words, what the Lord was saying to Peter, you are a true disciple if you leave your family and your friends and brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and homes and possessions. You're a true disciple. Because that's what a true disciple will do. But the Lord told Peter, but you will be rewarded. You'll be rewarded 100-fold. You'll be rewarded 100-fold in this life and in the life to come. And whenever you have to leave families and friends, brothers and sisters, and go to some other town or some other city or even some other country, you'll make new friends there. And they'll become your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. And you will be rewarded 100-fold in the world to come. You think of some of our missionaries and what they've had to leave and what they went to. Think of our sister, Miss Margaret Russell. Left a good profession at home. She was a nurse. And lived in a nice home and her family around her, her sisters and her mother. And obeyed the call of God and went to Kenya. And I remember reading about those early days for our sister in Kenya, living in a mud hut with a corrugated iron roof. And waking up in the morning and finding a serpent in her bedroom. And having to contend with all kinds of things that she wasn't used to at home. You think of Dr. Bill Woods. We saw his DVD there a few weeks ago. And learned something about the hardships that he endured in Brazil. And making a boat on the Amazon his home for 3 weeks. And going out into the dense forest to treat individuals who had leprosy. And to give them the gospel. You think of our sister, Miss Joanne Greer, who has been accepted by the mission board to be a missionary in Liberia. She's ready to go, but the mission board will not allow her to go yet until they purchase for her a dwelling place that is safe. Now here's a young woman who's prepared to go herself. And if she was allowed to, she would go today. Such is her burden for the work in Liberia. But they have to find her a safe accommodation. A young woman working alone out there, she needs a safe accommodation. They all have the spirit of Priscilla. Fervent in spirit. Surrendered to the Lord. Dedicated to His cause. And ready to go. And wherever Aquila went, Priscilla was ready to go. A minister's wife was once asked, what place would you like? What place would you like best to live in? She replied, where my husband is happiest. Wherever my husband is called and wherever he is happiest, that's where I want to live. That wife had the spirit of Priscilla. And wherever her husband went, Priscilla was happy to go with him. We see not only her fervency in her travels, We see how fervent she was in her trials. Being someone who wholly followed the Lord, she along with her husband was prepared to risk their own lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. And again you think of our missionaries that we have mentioned who have gone to far off lands, far from home, and by being there they have risked their own lives. You think of the political disturbances in Kenya. And some who were associated with the work that Miss Russell is associated with, losing their lives because of the political unrest. Others took their missionaries out and brought them home. But our missionaries stayed. They risked their lives, as did Priscilla. Look there at Romans chapter 16. Romans 16. Paul says in verse 3, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles, who have for my life laid down their own necks." In other words, Aquila and Priscilla were prepared to lay down their own lives for the cause of Christ, for the cause of the gospel, that the Apostle Paul's life might be spared, and that he might continue to spread the good news. What exactly Paul was referring to here, we do not know. What he meant whenever he said, "For my life they laid down their own necks," we don't know. But this we do know, they were prepared to risk their lives. They were even prepared to lay down their lives, if necessary, for the cause of the Lord Jesus. You think of the great Reformation, the great Protestant Reformation, and the men and the women who willingly laid down their lives, who willingly went to the stake, who willingly were burned to death for the gospel of Jesus Christ. No doubt fervent in spirit. And the many missionaries have laid down their lives over the years and over the decades. And they did it all for the Lord. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3 and verse 15. First John 3 verse 15. "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." That's fairly strong language. But it is the inspired word, God's word. But look at the next verse. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He has dealt with there in that verse 15, John. He's dealing with God's people, or those who profess to be God's people, showing no love for their brothers and sisters in Christ. And then he goes on to say, if you want an example of love, here it is. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. He's given an example of Christian love. And here you have an example of Christian love in the life of Aquila, in the life of Priscilla. Priscilla and Aquila loved Paul. They loved him for Christ's sake. And because they loved Paul, they were prepared to make the sacrifice for Christ's sake. What sacrifices have we made for Christ's sake? Then I notice her testimony. Her fervency is seen in her testimony. Look again at Romans chapter 16 and verse 4. Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. No doubt Paul was very thankful for what Priscilla and Aquila were prepared to do on his behalf. No doubt he was very thankful for this show of love that they had demonstrated towards him, and that they were willing to lay down their own lives. He was thankful, all right. But then it says, not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. All the Gentile churches were aware of the labors of Priscilla and Aquila. They were aware of her faithfulness and her fervency in the things of God. They were aware of what this couple were prepared to do for the Lord, and what they had done in these churches that they were involved in. And here we find Paul says, not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the land. We all give thanks for Priscilla and Aquila. My, what a testimony. What a testimony to have. There's no mention here of what the world said about them, but we know something of what God's people said about them, and how God's people felt towards them. They were thankful for Aquila and Priscilla. Isn't that the kind of testimony we want? That others will thank God for us? That others will thank the Lord for us and what we have done to help further the cause of Christ, and what we have done for brothers and sisters in Christ? It's a good testimony, isn't it? I remember listening to Jordan Kahn many years ago. Jordan Kahn was a great preacher from India. Spiritual man. Stayed in our home. Remember hearing Jordan Kahn in one of his messages preach about the Christian's life, how the Christian lives, what he does for the Lord, and how he'll be remembered, how he'll be recognized. And he gave the illustration of one day he said he was at a railway station. And as he entered the station, he noticed the red carpet was laid out. And the train came into the station and came to a halt. And a lot of people were gathered around where this red carpet was laid. And he stood and watched, and some highfalutin dignitary appeared with an entourage with him. And he walked on to the red carpet, and a great fuss was made of this man, whoever he was, as he entered the train. And Jordan Kahn says that he cast his eye along the carriages of the train. And away at the end he saw one man boarding the train. Says there was nobody with him. In fact, he says he was pretty sure that nobody even noticed that man boarding the train. And Jordan Kahn made the point. He says some Christians and their lives are like that. Some will go out in a blaze of glory. Some will walk the red carpet, as it were, into glory. And will be remembered. And like Aquila and Priscilla, people will thank God for them. And yet there will be other Christians who will enter into heaven and nobody will even notice. Because they never did anything, accomplished anything for God. Oh, they're still going to heaven. That man was still boarding that train. He was still going on the same train as that dignitary was on. But he didn't receive the recognition that the man who walked the red carpet received. Aquila and Priscilla walked the red carpet that eventually would lead them to heaven. And people remembered them. And the churches thanked God for them. How do we want to go to heaven? Priscilla's way? Or the way of someone else who in a lifetime that God and His grace has given to them spent the whole life doing nothing for God? Could not be said of Priscilla and Aquila. And then I notice her fervency with regard to her thoughtfulness. She's a very thoughtful woman. She must have been whenever she was willing to have an assembly of believers in her home, in her, both two of her homes, having to cater for that number of people. Yet she was very thoughtful, opened her home to all those believers. And then we notice that she was thoughtful towards other believers. Do you turn, please, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. First Corinthians 16 and verse 19. Paul says in verse 19, the churches of Asia salute you. That is, the churches of Asia salute the church in Corinth. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. You see, Priscilla and Aquila, they were a husband and wife team that were not so much wrapped up in their own work that they forgot about others. Because here we see that Aquila and Priscilla were thinking about others. They were thinking about the saints in the church at Corinth, where they had once lived. Sometimes, as churches, we can suffer from what has been called tunnel vision. And we only see our own work and we only see our own needs. But really what we need is a wide-angle lens, as it were. And you think of all the churches and all the works round about us that need our prayers also. And our missionaries. Miss Russell needs our prayers. Miss Greer needs our prayers. Dr. Woods needs our prayers. Doctors in Spain. And our brother Patrick in Australia. And here we find that Aquila and Priscilla send their greetings to the church at Corinth. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. Much in the Lord. This was no half-hearted salute, as it were. This was no mere formal greeting. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord. Take that word salute. The word salute there means to embrace. It means to draw together. You get the picture? Aquila and Priscilla were far from Corinth. But if they had have been there, they would love to have embraced the believers. And whenever Paul sent the greeting and said, Aquila and Priscilla salute you, he was saying, Aquila and Priscilla, they will embrace you. Or the word, as we have said, also means to draw together. That's a lovely word. That's a good word. To salute means to embrace or to draw together. And here, Aquila and Priscilla were far from the church at Corinth. But by sending this greeting, it helped to draw them together. Many miles apart. But whenever they saluted the church at Corinth, it helped draw them together. When we sit down and send an email to a missionary, or sit down and write a letter to a minister, and tell that missionary or that minister, we're praying for you. We salute you. We embrace you with our prayers. We embrace you with our thoughts and our cares. We are with you in the work. Can you imagine how much of an encouragement that is and would be to that missionary or that minister? I know what it's like to receive a correspondence, to receive a letter from a believer who tells me and tells my family, we're praying for you. And the person who sends that letter is thinking about others outside their own church. They're thoughtful. Priscilla was thoughtful. Paul says in Philippians 4:21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. Do it for the Lord. Mark tells us about the multitude of people when they saw the Lord Jesus. It says they came running to meet him and saluted him. They embraced him. Let us embrace those who are in far off lands. Let us embrace them with our correspondence, with a letter. We note now and again. Let them know we're thinking about them. You take the Boyle's email or the Boyle's prayer letter there, their email address is at the top of the page. Why not this week some of us send them an email? Show our thoughtfulness. Salute them. As Aquila and Priscilla saluted the church and the believers at Corinth. You see how fervent she was also in her teaching. While Aquila and Priscilla were in Ephesus, we're told in Acts 18, go back to Acts 18, we're told about a man called Apollos. Born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the scriptures. And he came to Ephesus, Acts 18, verse 24. And we find that Aquila and Priscilla went to hear him. They were mightily impressed. We read in verse 25 of Acts 18, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You see, it tells us there that Apollos knew only the baptism of John. He hadn't been fully enlightened all that there was to know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nevertheless, he was mighty in the scriptures. He was an eloquent man. He was fervent in spirit. And he spake and he taught diligently the things of the Lord. But there was just that one flaw. He only knew the baptism of John. But what do we find? We find that Aquila and Priscilla, when they heard him, took him unto them and expounded unto them or unto him more perfectly. You think of that. I remember in the theological hall, see, every week, in the Reverend or Dr. S.B. Cook's class, Homiletics and Pastoral Theology, Mr. Cook would choose one student out every week to preach. He'll give them a text. He'd say, I want you to preach on that in front of the class next week. It's a daunting task, I can tell you. And I remember when it came my turn, he gave me Psalm 3. And he says, I want you to expound Psalm 3. I want an exposition of Psalm 3. I'd never heard the word exposition. No idea what it meant. What was I to do? What did he mean, expound Psalm 3? And I remember studying all that week. I think I counted up about 80 hours of study on Psalm 3. And I came in the next Tuesday and I had to meet Mr. Cook at the door and I said, Brother, I've done all this study all week and I can't get anything. I can't get a message from Psalm 3. He says, well, preach it next week then. And I went back again. I remember well, after all those hours of study, suddenly it all fell into place. But I had no idea what it meant to expound the word. It means going deeper into the word than just a mere Bible study, as it were. Or just looking at the words on the surface. It's going into it, just as the Lord expounded on to the Emmaus disciples. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded on to them. He took them into the strong meat of the word. He took them into the depths of the word. And what do we find here? We find a woman who was able to expound the scriptures. How well do we know the Bible? How well do we know the word of God? Or would we be able to expound a passage of scripture? If someone said, tell me, what does that passage mean? Like Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. He was reading Isaiah 53. He didn't know what it meant. Philip was able to expound it, open the word to him. And lo and behold, Priscilla had such a knowledge of the scriptures that she, along with her husband, was able to expound the word, the way of God, more perfectly. The word perfectly there means accurately. That's quite a testimony, isn't it? To be able to expound the word. Such was this woman, Priscilla. Finally and briefly, want us to notice Priscilla and her farewell. The last reference to Priscilla is found in Paul's own farewell address. His last inspired letter to Timothy. And we find in 2 Timothy, in chapter 4, that Aquila and Priscilla are once again mentioned and their names are together. Verse 19, 2 Timothy 4, verse 19, salute Priscilla or Prisca, same name, Prisca and Aquila and the house of Nesiphorus. But the point is this. Many years have passed by between Acts 18 and 2 Timothy 4. Many years. And what do we find? The two names are still mentioned together. They're still working, still going on with God. And here Paul, of all the saints that Paul worked with and of all the saints who worked with him, here we find Paul remembers Priscilla and Aquila. That says a lot, does it not? As far as Priscilla and Aquila were concerned, you see how steadfast they were. Right to the very end. When it comes to bidding them farewell, we still find them laboring in the Lord's harvest fields. I told you much about Sister Gladys McLean. I told you she was a missionary in India. She told me something of the hardships she faced in those early days, coming from a poor family, going to the mission field with no money. She's almost 90 now. She's not out there in India in a mission field, but she's still on a mission field. Because she and her two or three friends sit in her house with her oxygen tanks, keeping her alive. And they put together a little package of CDs, of sermons, and send gospel tracts and a covering letter. And she has sent it out to individuals, to groups, to churches, to seminaries, spreading the gospel. And she's almost 90. And she's like Priscilla. She's still in the Lord's harvest field. She told me there last week that her two friends took her to visit a relative. She needed to have 4 oxygen cylinders in the car with her. Keep her alive. She's the true Priscilla. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Her steadfastness, and then her salute. Now she's being saluted by Paul. Salute Prisca and Aquila. Now Paul is saluting her. Paul, if he was there with her, would love to embrace her. Before his martyrdom, Paul, as it were, takes his hat off to Priscilla. He salutes her. He salutes her, and we do also. We salute the memory of this woman, Priscilla. Said, it's not so much how a man begins, but it's how he finishes that matters. I tell you, with Priscilla, Priscilla began well, and Priscilla finished well. May the Lord bless the memory of Priscilla to each one of our hearts this morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer.